It's a special KMOX sports presentation.
Welcome to the Strike Zone on KMOX. Presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Hour. We always love being able to do that here on KMOX. It's being brought to you by Graybar. Welcome back into the program. My name is Matt Pauly. Mostly baseball talk this hour, but we'll get into a couple things before all is said and done, including in about 10 minutes or so, we are scheduled to be joined by the great Taylor Twellman, St. Louisan, great soccer broadcaster now, working with MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. We'll talk all things City SC with him coming up in just a little bit more than 10 minutes here on KMOX. Continuing to talk Cardinals baseball, though, after they get a win today. Building the Future is sponsored by Graybar, your distributor for electrical and data communication needs. And speaking of building the future, how about what we saw today from Michael McGreevy? What a special day for him. He goes 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk. His reward, by the way, is likely a trip right back to Memphis, as his roster spot is likely to be used for Eric Fetty. But this is something that I've talked about. I started talking about this a little bit more when the Cardinals had their last bullpen start with Matthew Liberatore. And one of my big things has been they can do better. And this is nothing against Matthew Liberatore. When I say that, it sounds like I'm taking a shot at him. I'm not. I'm a fan of Matthew Liberatore. But what we've seen from him is he has been consistently pretty darn good as a relief pitcher. And he has been inconsistent when it comes to starts. We've seen a couple really good starts. He had that great start this year. Last year, that start against Tampa. I'm not closing the door on Matthew Liberatore being a starting pitcher. But when it comes to this season and this team and everything that this team has been through, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And with the weather issues that this team has dealt with this year and the doubleheader after doubleheader after doubleheader combined with a rescheduled game coming up on Monday. Monday was supposed to be an off day and the Mets are going to come in for a single game. There's just been more situations where you need a sixth starter. And when they go bullpen game, and I'm not trying to repeat everything I've said before, but I understand the reasons for it. I'm not trying to be dismissive of it. If you send a relief pitcher down to Memphis, it costs them one of their options because you are limited in how many times you can send a player up and send a player down. You also have to keep them at Memphis for 10 days, barring an injury. So you send somebody down for a sixth starter to come up, and you lose somebody who might be an important part of your bullpen for 10 days. Like there are clear and obvious reasons on why the Cardinals have not done a lot of what they did today, and that was just call up a legit starter to have a legit start. They haven't done that as much as you would like them to do. And I understand the reasons why. Again, I'm not trying to be dismissive of those reasons. But even with those reasons that I fully understand, I still don't agree with the decision. I still think it's, you know, Chris Roycroft got sent down today. We saw that coming. He pitched each of the last 2 days. The pitching staff is in flux right now as Eric Fetty comes in and Sean Armstrong comes in. There's a lot of moving parts, both from a 26-man roster standpoint and also from a 40-man roster standpoint. All these things are happening. And when Roycroft pitches on back-to-back days, so he's not going to be available for 2-3 days, it becomes clear that this guy's going to go back down to Memphis. And he's, for the most part, done a nice job for the Cardinals this year. So whether it's a Chris Roycroft or a Kyle Leahy, Ryan Lutis did a nice job today. He's probably going to be sent right back as well because they need 2 roster spots with Fetty and with Armstrong coming in. If you lose these guys for 10 days, and I'm not trying to be dismissive of their impact, but it's worth it. You've got other guys at AAA from a relief pitching standpoint who you can call up, and their production probably will be somewhat similar to the guy you're sending down when we're talking about the Roycrofts and the Leahys of the world. Not that those guys haven't done a nice job this year. That's not what I'm saying. So I was really pleased. I was really pleased that the Cardinals made the decision to go with Michael McGreevy today. It just made a lot of sense. They put themselves in their own situation of one. They didn't have to push the starters back. Like, if we want to have a discussion, if we want to have an argument, if we want to get into something that maybe there can be multiple sides to the arguments, whether or not they should have done what they did. There's this belief right now that with the 16 straight days without an off day, that the starting rotation was gassed and they all needed an extra day. And that's fine. If they feel that way, that's fine. There's a lot of people who pushed back on it. Last night when I was doing the extra inning show, got some text messages from people who were frustrated that Sonny Gray wasn't pitching today because they felt like the Cardinals weren't going for a win today, that if they would have pitched Gray today, they could have gotten a win with Sonny, and that they would have taken 2 out of 3 and won the series, and that's more important than anything else. Well, it worked out well for him. In hindsight, we can sit there and say, well, McGreevy pitched really well. I don't think McGreevy pitching well or not pitching well or anything else kind of go, like, they thought their starters needed an extra day, so they gave their starters an extra day. There was a lot of moving pieces with the pitching staff, and they were able to call up Michael McGreevy, and they found a 40-man roster spot for him and everything, and it worked out. When they made the decision that McGreevy was going to come up, what they didn't know at the time is that Lance Lynn was going to end up on the injured list. And we're probably not talking about it as much. And again, this is a yesterday conversation, not a today conversation, but I'll bring it up for a moment. Lance Lynn's knee was not great yesterday. And his velo was way down because of the, you know, unable to use the lower body to create velocity on pitches. And he threw some stuff that he normally doesn't throw. I mean, you talk about putting things together with zippers and bubble gum and tape and everything. That's what Lance Lynn was doing yesterday. And he pitched quite well over 5 innings. And he was limping noticeably in the Cardinals clubhouse after the game yesterday. He talked about the knee issue, got some stuff done, and now he's on the injured list. And we'll see what it's going to, how long it's going to take. This is another important part of bringing Eric Fetty in. Because if this Lance Lynn injury happens 2 weeks ago, who's joining the starting rotation? Is it a Michael McGreevy? Is it a Gordon Graceffo? If we're having this conversation before McGreevy start today, I don't think anybody's really comfortable with all of a sudden Michael McGreevy being in the rotation every fifth day. Same thing with Gordon Graceffo. Yeah, you can give him an opportunity, but nobody's jumping at that. I think all of a sudden the narrative becomes, well, this team doesn't have the depth over the 40-man roster to make up for injuries. Well, they go get Eric Fetty. Now all of a sudden Lance Lynn gets injured literally the day after Eric Fetty gets acquired, and Andre Pallante, who I think was likely to be the odd man out in the rotation, he's going to keep his job in the rotation at least for a little while longer. So it works out. But that's part of the importance of bringing in Eric Fetty, because now you have more starting depth. And it feels like, and it's only one game, it is only one game. Let's not crown Michael McGreevy as an all-star and a top of the rotation starter, because in his major league debut he threw 7 innings, allowing 1 run on 5 hits. But what we can do is say, okay, this is a guy who's pitched in a major league game and has had success, and let's see what happens the next time he gets an opportunity. And now there's major league film on him. At some point, Michael McGreevy is going to pitch in a major league game, and he is going to get shellacked. That happens to every pitcher, basically, who's pitched in baseball. So that's going to happen at some point in time. So the next thing for him is going to be the correction to the league will correct to him, and then he's going to have to correct to the league. What we don't know is when that's going to happen next, because, again, no official roster move has been made, but I would be nothing short of shocked if Michael McGreevy is not returned to Memphis after this one start today. I thought it was funny. Tommy Pham today was asked about the spot start. He said, that was a spot start. We got to figure out a way to keep this guy around. Like that when we talk about Tommy Pham not really having a filter on the things that he says and just going out and saying it, that's what we're talking about. Pham's being told that, yeah, he's been here for 2 days. He doesn't know who Michael McGreevy really is. And wait, this spot start, that was 7 innings, 1 run. What are you talking about? I got to find spots for him. So, yeah, that was kind of funny, I thought. We'll see. You would think that McGreevy's going to get another opportunity at some point down the line. But you also, and again, going back to Lance Lynn, you don't have to You don't have to hurry him back now because you've got Eric Fetty. Andre Pallante has done a really nice job. We'll get back to baseball coming up later on in the hour, but we do have Taylor Twellman scheduled to join us in just a few moments. We'll talk all things City SC soccer with him as City is coming off a win in their Leagues Cup matchup this past weekend. How important is the Leagues Cup? Is it more important about getting these new guys acclimated for when the team returns to MLS play, or is the Leagues Cup at this point, with how wretched the season has gone for City, is this an opportunity for them to have an accomplishment this year by going on a Leagues Cup run? We'll talk with Taylor about that coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. City SC right in the middle of Leagues Cup. They're coming off a win this past weekend. They're going to get back at it with a matchup against Juarez this weekend. And we are always so happy to be able to welcome on St. Louisan. Great in everything that he's done, including all the work he does now with MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. It's our friend Taylor Twellman. Taylor, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. How are you?
No problem. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. So what have you seen from City since the coaching change? There's obviously been some better moments, but also some moments that it looks very similar to what it was like under Bradley Carnell.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? I think it's also, you've got to assess it through the lens of, have they had a full roster, full complement of players? Having known John Hackworth as long as I've known him, you know, it is going to be a little different than Bradley Carnell. There's going to be some similar principles, but then there's also going to be some changes, and I think some of those could be drastic based on the identity and where this team was last year versus this year. So I need to see a full complement of players, and I think now that the new players are there, they've arrived, they're getting their legs under them. I think it's going to be interesting to see what we get out of them against Juarez this weekend, but more so, you know, if they progress in Leagues Cup, how do they play themselves into fitness, the new guys, and what do they look like under John Hackworth?
It's kind of a benefit to them to have Leagues Cup because you're able to integrate all these new players where expectations are so high of new players coming in. And at least for a moment, these are matches that are not impacting MLS standings, that they still have that hope of maybe being a playoff team this year.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it the other way too, though, right? Like, if your whole goal is to make the playoffs, well, you obviously, with a depleted roster, you don't want anyone to get injured. So, you know, it's six and a half one way, half a dozen the other, no matter how you look at it. So you look at it glass half full, I agree 100% with you. I'd also argue, though, that Leagues Cup is the only way they can save their season, too. So why not go for it? And if you can get to the semifinal, now you play yourself into the Champions Cup next year. You've kind of saved your season on some level. And I think that's kind of the mindset of Lutz Pfannenstiel in bringing the group in. So there is many a different ways you can skin a cat in this league. I think if they're going to make the playoffs, they have to win 6 of 9, probably 7 of 9, if they lose one of the other two games. That is as long of a shot as you ever see. It's happened before, but again, they're going to have to go on a run, and I think that run's only going to come if they go on a run in Leagues Cup.
I don't know Coach Hackworth all that well, but it seems like he's not afraid to get after guys when he feels like the situation presents itself. It didn't feel that much with Bradley Carnell, but I don't know what was going on behind closed doors. When you're a struggling group the way this team is struggling, can that be good for a team to get some very blunt, direct, almost conflict from your coach?
Well, you're asking a guy that's lived in Boston, Massachusetts for 24 years. That's longer than I lived in St. Louis, buddy. So I prefer direct. I prefer get to the point and we move on. I think John Hackworth is a breath of fresh air. I think some of the players were too comfortable. I think some of the players thought too highly of themselves, if that makes any sense. And Hackworth's going to hold you accountable. I think all of us in life need to be held accountable because it keeps you on edge and it keeps you wanting to succeed more. But I still go back to this roster, you know, being depleted. It's difficult. I think Lutz Pfannenstiel needs to decide, do you want to see some of the young players and see what they have and potentially what you have next year? There's going to be some big, big roster decisions at the end of this year. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Hackworth is a breath of fresh air. But mind you, his job is technical director, right? So he's got to look down 18, 24, 36 months down the road as well. So he may be playing players that, you know, if you were in a playoff hunt, you may not play him. Well, guess what? Now you've got the luxury of maybe you can find out some answers on some unknown, you know, quantities within your league.
Do you like the job that Lutz has done here in the transfer window?
I do. I think they need way more of a presence in the attacking third. And already you can see that Hardo and Tuker are different players, right? So I think there's going to be a little bit of a growing period, and I think fans need to understand that even just watching them play against Dallas, take the fitness out of it, the thoughts, the patterns of play, where the spaces are that they like to operate, they're all very similar, so they've got to find a way to play all three of those guys together. I think Leuven as a deep-lying midfielder is going to be really good, but that means Tuchert and Hardo, you know, they can't play in the same spaces. That's going to take some time, but make no mistake about it. They absolutely 100% add a different quality, different dimension to this team. His team's only won four times in 2024 in Major League Soccer. Five, if you include Leagues Cup. They've got to find a way to be dangerous again, and especially put some question marks on the opposition. So in that part, yes, I think if you had Lutz and he gave you True Serum, he'd like one more piece in the attacking third, and he'd also try to solidify the center back, left back position. They've done that with a player from second Bundesliga on loan, but I think he's still looking down the barrel of trying to do something because he knows the way the rest of the league with more money being infiltrated into the transfer window starting now, St. Louis City has to spend money here.
You mentioned being dangerous, and even beyond the depleted roster, which has taken away some scorers off the field, is it challenging to run the system that they run and have multiple dangerous players on the field at any moment?
It's a great question because the reason why you play this system is the sum is greater than the individual parts. And so if you are depleted, well, the system's supposed to make up for that. And now it's interesting that now they have a depleted roster. All of a sudden, the system doesn't. This is why the New York Red Bulls and Red Bull Global have done this for so long, because the high energy return, you can outkick your coverage with the player profile that's on the field, because the system creates the chances for themselves, if I'm making it any easier to digest. And I think that's where this becomes very interesting. I don't think the system that Bradley Carnell played before Leagues Cup last year is the system at all of what they're playing now. I don't think it's even close. And so now you've got to add more quality to the field. You've got to have the ability to possess the ball and to break down lower blocks. And so I don't think you're going to see St. Louis City play as high of a line as you did under Bradley Carnell. And I think there's going to be a little bit of an onus on keeping the ball a little bit more. Well, guess what? You've got to have more quality. Now the personnel matters, but that's what's interesting to me. When this roster was depleted under Bradley Carnell and even John Hackworth, the system is supposed to help you negate that, and it wasn't. And that's where I think Lutz Pfannenstiel probably has been more frustrated than in years past, because neither was working, and you've got to fix both.
Couple more questions with Greg Taylor Twellman as he joins us here on a Sports Open Line. Do you take anything away from MLS's dominance so far here in the Leagues Cup?
No, we saw it similar to last year. I just think home field advantage is a huge part of it. Liga MX's teams have played, what, maybe three, four games in their league, so it's eerily similar to Major League Soccer teams and CONCACAF Champions Cup when we saw St. Louis City. You know, you come right into your season and you're playing competitive games. That's where Liga MX is in the moment. Now, in saying that, you always got to take it with a grain of salt, the wins that come off the penalty shootouts, because ultimately those are draws, right? So those games have been the same. I think the bigger surprise to me is the Austin being able to defeat both Pumas and Monterrey in regulation. Those were really big, surprising results. San Jose even winning on penalties against Chivas. San Jose is the worst team in this league, and yet they found a way to grind out a result there. So you never know. St. Louis City could go on a result here. They get one this weekend. They go on a run. And again, if you get yourself a CONCACAF Champions Cup spot out of this tournament, on some level, you've salvaged your season.
it was so weird this past weekend with all the supporter groups not being there and the chants and the drums and everything not happening. Feels like MLS as a league is at least listening to the supporter groups, not just in St. Louis, but across MLS cities that are still very interested in the U.S. Open Cup being a bigger part of this. Does this all get figured out at some point?
Yes. Absolutely, it does. Okay. And I don't think anyone fully has done a good job of dissecting where the Open Cup was when I played in it, where the Open Cup was. I called 5, 6, 7, it could be more, Open Cup finals in a row, and every single halftime talk we had, I was begging the U.S. Soccer Federation to put more into it. For the longest time, what fans don't understand is the Major League Soccer owner has funded the Open Cup with travel and all of those games where the lower divisions hosting and all of that. And I think what happened was, whatever, lines were crossed, miscommunication, I think it gets figured out. I am a massive fan of the Open Cup. I still will be, always will be, and even Major League Soccer understands where I'm coming from on that. So it's a huge part of the history of our country and our sport. But I think people need to understand for about 20-some-odd years, the MLS owner funded the U.S. Open Cup. And until that was addressed, there was going to be a bubbling point. That's what you had this year. But I would be shocked if it's not figured out by 2025.
MLS Season Pass is the home for Leagues Cup matches. City will match up against Juarez coming up this Sunday, 8 o'clock over at City Park, and then right back into a MLS play later on this month. Taylor, before I let you go, the package, the program that is MLS Season Pass is such an amazing thing for sports fans. Give a plug for the folks listening who have not yet made the plunge.
Yeah, if you haven't made the plunge, you can get it right now for 50% off. That's every Leagues Cup game. That's every Major League Soccer game coming into the playoffs and then ultimately MLS Cup. I just think if you saw it where it started, 18 months later, see where we are. And I'll tell you 18 months from now, the growth is going to be exponential. We look forward to it. But again, you won't miss a single city second for 50% off right now.
Taylor, thank you for being so gracious with your time.
Yeah, be good, dude.
That's Taylor Twellman joining us here on the program, part of the team with MLS Season Pass. Again, they're going to be in action coming up this weekend. City SC is against Juarez. That's going to be a Sunday matchup, and that's going to take place at 8 o'clock. You can also listen to it on our sister station, Y98. You can, if you've got the MLS Season Pass, you can do the audio overlay with the local radio put on top of that, so you can basically listen to the Y98 broadcast while watching the video from Apple. And the video quality on these Apple broadcasts, like, and again, I'm not trying to go down this thing of the Apple stuff, but if you've actually watched these games, whether it's the soccer or the Friday night baseball, it's beautiful. Like, it's so, the video quality that they use is so good. Is it 4K cameras? Is that, I'm going down a path that I shouldn't be going down because I don't know what I'm talking about. But the technology that Apple uses to broadcast games is fantastic. I love the way those games look. All right, we're going to jump back into baseball here for a little bit. I've got you until 8 o'clock before we get to At Your Service. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Have you for another 20 minutes or so. Our guy Brad Young is going to be in the house tonight for At Your Service starting at 8 o'clock. Hopefully we will wrangle him in for a little bit. I've got an interesting legal story for him if we can get him in here before all is said and done. It's kind of a story that's gone under the radar a little bit. It is sports related, football related, even a St. Louis tie to it. So we'll try to get Brad in here and talk through that coming up in just a few moments. I had to kind of chuckle. So look, I get it. We as human beings, we love to complain. We love to complain. It is part of the essence of being a human. I do it. Sometimes I hear myself complaining. I'm like, what am I doing? This doesn't matter. Shut up, Matt. You sometimes are telling me to shut up when you're listening to me on the radio. I tell myself to shut up. So, yeah, we're always complaining. When I'm reading the the finals or the totals off the box score at the end of every Cardinals post game show, so people are really like they get up in arms about the attendance stuff. Like there's certain people out there that just want to stick out their chest and say, "Oh, you see, not as many people are going to Cardinals games this year." So like when I'll say game was played in 2 hours and 17 minutes in front of a crowd of 32,522 people. So I would say that, and I would just get bombarded with text messages from people saying there was not that many people because the attendance that's listed on the box score is it's the paid attendance. That's the way it works out. So I change the way I say it. If you listen to me on the postgame show, I now say with an announced attendance. Instead of saying the words played in front of a crowd of, I say with an announced attendance. Well, Tyler Rosen is here. Tyler. Today I messed up. Today I messed up, and I got a text message. I went back and I listened to the post game show, and I reverted back to what I used to say, and I said played in front of a crowd of 31,000, blah 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 blah. So, which again, there's nothing incorrect about that. That is technically it. And immediately I get a text message: the game was not played in front of 31,000 today. No way, not even close. Stop the fake news, please. Fake news. So, like, come on, people. Like, that's the moment. I've gone to the announced crowd thing. The one time I say it another way, boom, text message comes in. So, I say all that to say this. 2 days ago, not yesterday, people complained yesterday with the Dylan Carlson trade because of Sean Armstrong coming back. But 2 days ago, when the Cardinals pull off the trade for Tommy Pham and Eric Fetty, and they give up an injured Tommy Edman and a very young pitcher who has never even stepped foot in the United States of America and has only played Dominican summer baseball. When that trade was made in an environment where there's a large, healthy percentage of people who are not fans of Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. When that trade came down, I saw overwhelming, almost 100%, almost unanimous, okay, this is a good move. Like, nobody saying Mo could have done better. Nobody saying they didn't get enough for Edmund. Like, this was an across-the-board appreciation for that move. And that is remarkable because I can't say John Mozeliak's name without just a visceral reaction from, I still think it's a vocal minority, but if I'm also being very honest about things, it is a vocal minority that has grown. There is no doubt about that. I mean, Mo has even acknowledged in an interview earlier this year, he said something along the lines of, you know, I think sports fans in this community are getting tired of me or something along those lines. That's me paraphrasing. That's not the exact words, but he hears the same things I hear. And that was such an overwhelming win of a trade. Does it stink to watch Tommy Edman walk out of the organization? Yeah. He's been a really good Cardinal. He's a great guy, been great for the community. Could do a lot of things, outfield, infield, pretty good hitter, hits from both sides. Like there's a lot of really good things about him. I like Tommy a lot. And I think we saw that he has great value across the league with the fact that, yes, the Dodgers were interested, but the Yankees evidently were interested as well. So when I say the cost is just Tommy Edman, that is not a diss at Tommy Edman. But when you say that the cost was just Tommy Edman to go get what the Cardinals went and got, one of the most sought-after pitchers in the market in Eric Fetty, and I talked about this with Scott Braun earlier on the show, you look at what some of these other pitchers, some of which were not even considered, not as sought after as a Eric Fetty, and you go look at what the return was for the Cardinals to pull off a three-team trade and get Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham and to give up Tommy Edman and a player who is a long shot of all long shots to even get to the big leagues, that is impressive. And congratulations goes out to the Cardinals for making that work and making that move happen. I have not seen any legitimate criticism of that move. and I cannot think of anything that John Mozeliak has done in recent history that has been overwhelmingly, even Sonny Gray getting signed. There were a lot of people that found issues with that. I have not seen anybody had come up with really anything about that move. Again, they all came back out yesterday with the Dylan Carlson trade and Sean Armstrong, because Armstrong's got the 5-plus ERA. But when it came to the trade 2 days ago, everybody was happy. All right, Brad Young, is he in the house yet? Yep, I see Brad Young. He is going to join us after this, and then he's got At Your Service tonight right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this Strike Zone hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. What's on deck? Sponsored by Chesterfield Fencedec. The sign, you have the very best Cardinals-Cubs four-game series starting tomorrow night. Sonny Gray against Shoto Imanaga. Eric Fetty, the newest Cardinal, will join, not the newest, I guess. Sean Armstrong's a little newer, but you get the idea. Eric Fetty will make his Cardinals debut on Friday. Tomorrow's game, 7:05 first pitch, 6:10 for our coverage here on KMOX. We've got Brad Young in the house. He's going to be hosting At Your Service tonight. Hello, Brad.
Good to see you, my friend.
I've got something for you.
Uh-oh. And listen, just so folks know, I have no idea what you're going to tell me.
Okay.
I mean, it could be... I have no idea.
I'm going to read from ESPN.com.
Okay, gotcha.
The United States Army is seeking to recoup money from an $11 million marketing deal with the United Football League and Dwayne The Rock Johnson after the partnership failed to yield a single new recruit, according to a Military.com report citing Army documents. An Army spokesperson telling Military.com the service is, quote, in the process of working with the UFL, unquote, to determine the final amount it's hoping to recoup from the deal, but according to documents, that amount is $6 million. And again, their total was 11, so that's more than half of what they paid. As part of the deal, and again, this is the Battlehawks League. As part of the deal, which was signed earlier this year, the UFL featured prominent Army branding on player uniforms and in games during its inaugural season that ran from March through June. The Army also expected Johnson, who is a co-owner of the league, to tout the Army in 5 social media posts. With 396 million followers on Instagram, Johnson's posts were valued by the Army at $1 million each, according to Military.com. But according to the report, Johnson did not fulfill his end of the deal and made only 2 Army-related posts, including none since April. This is the final sentence. This is the one that really gets me. A review conducted by the Army projects that the partnership led to a loss of 38 enlistments, the report said. So not only did they get 0 new enlistments,
right,
they lost 38 enlistments. I don't know how you lose enlistments by putting the Army logo on a Battlehawks jersey, but this is interesting, right?
It's very interesting. I saw this story today, actually, and I read through the story. And essentially, when you break this down legally, there's a breach of contract here. And because when you start to read the story, you think, how could there be a breach of contract? Because advertising typically doesn't guarantee performance, right? It's more subjective. But in this instance, there was an objective element, and that is you got to do the 5 posts. And he didn't do the 5 posts. He did 2. So there you have some objective.
Well, there's 3, but if they value them at $1 million each, that's
right.
$3 million, and they're right. Trying to recoup $6 million.
Right. And here's the reason why. Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, and the UFL doesn't want the publicity associated with a lawsuit that their advertisers lost business, in essence, because of their partnership. So because of that, they would be more than happy to settle it before it goes to a lawsuit in order to avoid the negative publicity.
How do you lose 38 enlistments?
You know, here's what I thought. Okay. I tried to find the answer to that because the story intrigued me. The only thing I can think of is that in enlistment centers, people may have backed out if there were posters of Dwayne Johnson.
Back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Have you for another 20 minutes or so. Our guy Brad Young is going to be in the house tonight for At Your Service starting at 8 o'clock. Hopefully we will wrangle him in for a little bit. I've got an interesting legal story for him if we can get him in here before all is said and done. It's kind of a story that's gone under the radar a little bit. It is sports related, football related, even a St. Louis tie to it. So we'll try to get Brad in here and talk through that coming up in just a few moments. I had to kind of chuckle. So look, I get it. We as human beings, we love to complain. We love to complain. It is part of the essence of being a human. I do it. Sometimes I hear myself complaining. I'm like, what am I doing? This doesn't matter. Shut up, Matt. You sometimes are telling me to shut up when you're listening to me on the radio. I tell myself to shut up. So, yeah, we're always complaining. When I'm reading the finals or the totals off the box score at the end of every Cardinals postgame show. So people are really like, they get up in arms about the attendance stuff. There's certain people out there that just want to stick out their chest and say, oh, you see, not as many people are going to Cardinals games this year. So like when I'll say game was played in 2 hours and 17 minutes in front of a crowd of 32,522 people. So I would say that, and I would just get bombarded with text messages from people saying there was not that many people, because the attendance that's listed on the box score is it's the paid attendance. That's the way it works out. So I change the way I say it. If you listen to me on the postgame show, I now say with an announced attendance. Instead of saying the words played in front of a crowd of, I say with an announced attendance. Well, Tyler Rosen is here. Tyler. Today I messed up. And I got a text message. I went back and I listened to the postgame show and I reverted back to what I used to say. And I said, played in front of a crowd of 31,000, blah, 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 blah. So, which again, there's nothing incorrect about that. That is technically it. And immediately I get a text message. The game was not played in front of 31,000 today. No way, not even close. Stop the fake news, please. Fake news. So, like, come on, people. Like, that's the moment. I've gone to the announced crowd thing. The one time I say it another way, boom, text message comes in. So, I say all that to say this. 2 days ago, not yesterday, people complained yesterday with the Dylan Carlson trade because of Sean Armstrong coming back. But 2 days ago, when the Cardinals pull off the trade for Tommy Pham and Eric Fetty, and they give up an injured Tommy Edman and a very young pitcher who has never even stepped foot in the United States of America and has only played Dominican summer baseball. When that trade was made in an environment where there's a large, healthy percentage of people who are not fans of Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. When that trade came down, I saw overwhelming, almost 100%, almost unanimous, okay, this is a good move. Like, nobody saying Mo could have done better. Nobody saying they didn't get enough for Edmund. Like, this was an across-the-board appreciation for that move. And that is remarkable because I can't say John Mozeliak's name without just a visceral reaction from, I still think it's a vocal minority, but if I'm also being very honest about things, it is a vocal minority that has grown. There is no doubt about that. I mean, Mo has even acknowledged in an interview earlier this year, he said something along the lines of, you know, I think sports fans in this community are getting tired of me or something along those lines. That's me paraphrasing. That's not the exact words, but he hears the same things I hear. And that was such an overwhelming win of a trade. Does it stink to watch Tommy Edman walk out of the organization? Yeah, he's been a really good Cardinal. He's a great guy, been great for the community. Could do a lot of things, outfield, infield, pretty good hitter, hits from both sides. Like, there's a lot of really good things about him. I like Tommy a lot. And I think we saw that he has great value across the league with the fact that, yes, the Dodgers were interested, but the Yankees evidently were interested as well. So when I say the cost is just Tommy Edman, that is not a diss at Tommy Edman. But when you say that the cost was just Tommy Edman to go get what the Cardinals went and got, one of the most sought-after pitchers in the market in Eric Fetty, and I talked about this with Scott Braun earlier on the show. You look at what some of these other pitchers, some of which were not even considered, not as sought after as a Eric Fetty, and you go look at what the return was for the Cardinals to pull off a three-team trade and get Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham and to give up Tommy Edman and a player who is a long shot of all long shots to even get to the big leagues, that is impressive. And congratulations goes out to the Cardinals for making that work and making that move happen. I have not seen any legitimate criticism of that move, and I cannot think of anything that John Mozeliak has done in recent history that has been overwhelmingly, even Sonny Gray getting signed. There were a lot of people that found issues with that. I have not seen anybody had come up with really anything about that move. Again, they all came back out yesterday with the Dylan Carlson trade and Sean Armstrong, because Armstrong's got the 5-plus ERA. But when it came to the trade 2 days ago, everybody was happy. All right, Brad Young, is he in the house yet? Yep, I see Brad Young. He is going to join us after this, and then he's got At Your Service tonight right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this Strike Zone hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. What's on deck? Sponsored by Chesterfield Fincedec. The sign, you have the very best Cardinals-Cubs four-game series starting tomorrow night. Sonny Gray against Shoto Imanaga. Eric Fetty, the newest Cardinal, will join, not the newest, I guess. Sean Armstrong's a little newer, but you get the idea. Eric Fetty will make his Cardinals debut on Friday. Tomorrow's game, 7:05 first pitch, 6:10 for our coverage here on KMOX. We've got Brad Young in the house. He's going to be hosting At Your Service tonight. Hello, Brad.
Good to see you, my friend.
I've got something for you.
Uh-oh. And listen, just so folks know, I have no idea what you're going to tell me.
Okay.
I mean, it could be... I have no idea.
I'm going to read from ESPN.com.
Okay, gotcha.
The United States Army is seeking to recoup money from an $11 million marketing deal with the United Football League and Dwayne The Rock Johnson after the partnership failed to yield a single new recruit, according to a Military.com report citing Army documents. An Army spokesperson telling Military.com the service is, quote, in the process of working with the UFL, unquote, to determine the final amount it's hoping to recoup from the deal, but according to documents, that amount is $6 million. And again, their total was 11, so that's more than half of what they paid. As part of the deal, and again, this is the Battlehawks League. As part of the deal, which was signed earlier this year, the UFL featured prominent Army branding on player uniforms and in games during its inaugural season that ran from March through June. The Army also expected Johnson, who is a co-owner of the league, to tout the Army in 5 social media posts. With 396 million followers on Instagram, Johnson's posts were valued by the Army at $1 million each, according to Military.com. But according to the report, Johnson did not fulfill his end of the deal and made only 2 Army-related posts, including none since April. This is the final sentence. This is the one that really gets me. A review conducted by the Army projects that the partnership led to a loss of 38 enlistments, the report said. So not only did they get 0 new enlistments,
right,
they lost 38 enlistments. I don't know how you lose enlistments by putting the Army logo on a Battlehawks jersey, but this is interesting, right?
It's very interesting. I saw this story today, actually, and I read through the story. And essentially, when you break this down legally, there's a breach of contract here. And because when you start to read the story, you think, how could there be a breach of contract? Because advertising typically doesn't guarantee performance, right? It's more subjective. But in this instance, there was an objective element, and that is you got to do the 5 posts. And he didn't do the 5 posts. He did 2. So there you have some objective.
Well, there's 3, but if they value them at $1 million each, that's right. $3 million, and they're right. Trying to recoup $6 million.
Right. And here's the reason why. Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, and the UFL doesn't want the publicity associated with a lawsuit that their advertisers lost business, in essence, because of their partnership. So because of that, they would be more than happy to settle it before it goes to a lawsuit in order to avoid the negative publicity.
How do you lose 38 enlistments?
You know, here's what I thought. Okay. I tried to find the answer to that because the story intrigued me. The only thing I can think of is that in enlistment centers, people may have backed out if there were posters of Dwayne Johnson or some sort of UFL stuff in an enlistment center, and then people backed out at the last minute because of something that was said about The Rock or the UFL. That's the only thing I can think of.
I want to be careful in what I say here because I don't speak from experience. This is a very third hand of me So this may or may not be true. But I was told by people that at UFL games, they had some halftime ceremonies with Army enlistments going on. And that just makes me wonder. Those two things don't jive. I don't want to make any... How are you having these ceremonies with Army enlistments, and then we're getting this story today? So this is... I think this is a very interesting sort of deal.
Well, I didn't know about that, but it could have been that people were supposed to get sworn in at a UFL game, and then because of the game, they backed out at the last minute. That's another way they could have actually lost recruits, but I'm not sure of the details.
Yeah, I don't know either. So we'll see. I thought the story might blow up a little bit, and maybe it still will, but it's kind of gone under the radar since breaking earlier today.
If it settles, that's the point. It'll go away.
Yeah, absolutely. We got like 20 seconds left. What do you have coming up on the show tonight?
Oh, lots of good stuff. Open phone lines, and the big question of the evening, what's better, a mutt or a purebred dog? Today is National Mutt Day, so... Very exciting topic here. People love their dogs.
We have a purebred Lhasa Apso, and then we have a Shih Tzu Yorkie mix.
Watch where you step.
Very good. At your service with Brad Young. It is on the way next. This has been a Sports Open Line here on KMOX.